All right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is Get the Funk Out right here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. All right, standing by, second half of the show is Mikey Lattner, the founder, executive director of Project Camp. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and then I'll bring him on. Project Camp is a disaster response nonprofit that pops up free. Trauma-informed day camps for children impacted by disasters. They are currently running multiple camps in and around Los Angeles to support families impacted by the Palisades and Eaton fires. And he is standing by with us right now. Hi, Mikey. Thanks for joining us.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the work you're doing. I heard about you, and I thought, oh, I would love to have him on. So I know this was short notice, so thanks again.
No problem. I really appreciate it.
Tell me how this all got started.
So Project Camp, really, it's really about activating camp professionals, youth professionals, teachers, after-school care professionals in service to their community after disaster. So it's creating a pathway for people with a unique skill set to come to the aid of children and their families during a critical time.
Okay, and when did this camp first start?
We started Project Camp in 2018, really after experiences that I had responding to wildfires in California, Hurricane Harvey in Houston, and looking to create a system really to fill a stopgap and respond to the needs of children when schools are closed and local services are disrupted. For the LA fires, we started 2 days after the fires hit. We can have camps up and running in as little as 48 hours, and so
Wow. We've
really been running ever since.
So walk me through this. So, you know, Altadena wiped out, so many areas mm-hmm. wiped out. What happened? Did you find a location, you know, somewhere nearby? How did you rally all these kids out of there?
Yeah, the core of our work is in community organizing and relationships. And so mm-hmm. we reached out to schools, both public, private, and charter, community institutions like YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, local summer camps, to figure out where people had evacuated to, and then also what spaces were available that we could transform into a day camp. And so I'm in Los Angeles also, so in addition to our organizing work, I also just have an extensive network of camp professionals here in LA.
Okay.
And so being able to get connected to the sites that we are popped up right now, which is working with LA City Rec and Parks at a local summer camp in Glendale. It was really just working the network.
Yeah. So could you give me an idea of age groups and locations? Because I want to share this with people in the community.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So we work with kids aged 6 through 16. We have camps open in Eagle Rock and Glendale right now, and we're looking to maintain and possibly expand those operations next week as well.
And then
really to expand locations for additional sites as needed.
Okay. So do you have volunteers? Do you have, kids older than 16 or those that went through the program helping you?
We don't have kids older than 16. Really, a lot of the, when we work with teenagers, a lot of what we're doing is actually having them facilitate group activities alongside our volunteer staff. So our volunteer staff are youth professionals from within the community. So we've had camp professionals from outdoor education over on some of the summer camps in Catalina,
mm-hmm.
A wide variety of the camps in and around the Los Angeles area, many of whom were impacted by wildfires previously.
Yeah.
And so being able to plug them in to be volunteer camp counselors is our way of both activating that network of youth professionals and also creating agency for teens who are impacted to be of service to their friends and families and community.
You give them tremendous purpose and meaning. I love that, Mikey.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the greatest thing I think that we're providing is time. It's time for parents to navigate emergency services, mm-hmm. go back to work when they need to process themselves. It's time for kids to be in a space that's unique to them, centered on play, for them to be able to process and work through what's happening.
Yes. It's interesting you say play, because a lot of times they don't have opportunities to play. And so one of the reasons I brought you on is when I was 12, I had a fire. I lost everything. I walked away with not even a toothbrush. And
oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. And I'm not trying to negate anything that anyone else is going through, but I share this because to this day, it made me really hyper aware of, safety. And so when I saw these fires and how horrific, I could only imagine, again, what it's like to be you know, a young child and you've lost everything. So I love what you're doing. Could you give me a sense too of like the kind of things you do and what you're seeing? Because I know there's a lot of trauma when a child goes through this.
Yeah, definitely. So our work is rooted in the Adverse Childhood Experience Study, the ACE study from 2011. Yeah. And it helps to pinpoint how you can work to potentially mitigate the long-term effects of experiencing an extreme event like these wildfires. And so that's rooted in reestablishing a sense of safety and routine for these kids, building meaningful relationship. And that's all stuff that day camps, youth programs do inherently. Mm-hmm. And so we're working with youth professionals and leveling up their skill set to do this work in a trauma-informed manner in a critical time. And so, you know, from a kid's perspective, camp looks, smells, feels, and sounds like every other day camp. Mm-hmm. And that's by design. It's how we orient and train our volunteer community staff. It's some of the back-end work we do with some of our arts activities and circle games, and how we build shared language around how people are feeling and their stress levels. All of that helps to build this sort of supportive catch for our kids and enable those volunteer staff to have, like I said, that shared language and connective tissue to be able to work kids through this process.
That's great. So there's a lot of different modes of things you're doing, you know, from, it sounds like, do you have some therapists on staff, or tell me about your staff?
Yeah, the thing we're doing is, like I said, activating youth professionals. So they're trauma-informed. I'm actually not a mental health professional by training. I'm a camp director by training. I spent over a decade directing camps back east up in Northern California.
Nice.
And so our first line really is those youth professionals, folks who already know how to work with kids, who are then learning how to do this work in a trauma-informed manner. And then, especially in this case of the LA fires, but we're connecting to networks of licensed clinical social workers, child therapists in the community to bring them to camp, not just to be able to be on site for the needs of our kids in real time, but also to connect with families and to be able to provide the connective tissue in case there is a need for longer-term support, that they have resources that are within and from the community that they can connect to.
So how can people who are listening support your efforts? Because I know I'm on your website, projectcamp.co. You partner with people, whether it's local organizations, corporate partners, foundations, and nonprofits. What kind of support do you need right now?
Yeah, really for us, it's the funding to be able to do this work anywhere in the country. And we, from a values perspective, we believe that money can't be the barrier to entry. So we get to work, and we work before, during, and after to connect to foundations, individual donors, to be able to make this work possible. The other aspect of that work is the visibility and the community network around this is an issue. So one of our biggest drumbeats right now is not just that kids in response to the LA wildfires need a place to be, that they're not able to be in school right now, but that as disasters related to climate change become increase in frequency and severity, this is becoming more and more of a problem. And so being able to bring in more community institutions to beat the drum around the need for critical child care in the immediate aftermath of disaster, that's the thing that will really help us get to work connecting to communities.
Well, you know, I love this because I think about what you said earlier, how you give parents an opportunity to do what they need to do, whether it's work or, you know, dealing with the fact they've lost their home and figuring out, you know, everything, while kids can go be with other kids. I think that's so important. I want to mention some of your camp supporters: California Community Foundation, Disney, Annenberg Foundation, Save the Children, California Fire Foundation, Cliff Bar Family Foundation, United Way, and you have so many collaborators. This is on the link to partners. What are VOAD memberships?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So VOAD memberships, VOADs are volunteer organizations active in disaster.
Okay.
Every California actually has two because we're such a large state, but every county has a VOAD in this country, and it's a collection of local and regional and national disaster relief nonprofits. So it's a space where those organizations can come together and share information about where needs are and really focus on not just the immediate response, but also the long-term recovery of communities.
Okay. And you are a 501c3. And so are there these project camps in other states, or you just have affiliates or relationships with other organizations in other states?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Project Camp, we operate nationally, and so we've popped up camps everywhere from hurricane responses in Florida. We were in North Carolina for the twin hurricanes just this past fall. We were in Maui for the Lahaina wildfires last year. Tornadoes across the Midwest this past summer. Project Camp itself will deploy anywhere in support of community organizations and communities impacted by disaster.
That's amazing. Do you want to talk a little bit about your team?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing I'll say about our team is that it's actually what makes Project Camp what it is and makes it possible. So it's from the front line, it's our volunteer camp counselors that are impacting how camp grows, the shape and scope of our program that makes each camp unique to the communities that it serves. So our camps here in Glendale look different than our camps on the west side, that look different than our camps in Lahaina, that look different than our camps in New Mexico. And the goal for that is for them to be able to reflect about the communities they've served or they are serving. And so our volunteer counselors are really what makes camp possible. On our full-time and seasonal team, you know, we have a very small dedicated team that works around the clock in response to disasters. And so we're doing everything from connecting to community groups in real time, background checking and processing volunteers to make sure that all of our camps are fully staffed, be bringing in local community, what we call community input, so like entertainers and teaching artists and stuff from that are also from the local community that make camp unique and special. And so it's really our team, like I said, like, you know, what we're providing is time for kids and time for families.
Yes.
It's the time that our staff are dedicated to creating this that's really important. If our supply needs are relatively little, right? We work with sidewalk chalk and finger paint and playground balls. It's really about the right people doing the right work in the right space.
Yes. Have you brought in any music, like drum circles, or are you looking for opportunities like that?
We haven't brought in any music. We brought in L.A. a lot of teaching artists that work in schools in and around L.A. that have been able to bring theater games and that kind of like run around and giggle and silly play that is so important to them right now.
Okay, great. Anything else you'd like listeners to know?
I think I just want to say again, like, if this work, money can't be the barrier to entry. So for us, being able to do this work in real time in communities all over the country, it's important that we start to recognize the critical need that childcare plays in our economies, in our communities. So being able to provide a space for kids to be kids also supports their parents going back to work, also supports their parents processing themselves, also supports the first responders who are on the fire line, in the hospitals. So I think just being able to beat the drum around the critical need of childcare writ large, and especially during disasters, is something I would really want to talk more about.
I wanted to ask, because I didn't, how long do the camps run?
Good question. It's, you know, we are a stopgap measure for when schools are closed, local normal childcare services are disrupted. So we'll run camps anywhere from several days up to and including 3 weeks to a month. Right now with this operation, especially because, especially a lot of the schools that were damaged or destroyed, both the public and the private schools are looking for alternate locations. And so we anticipate continuing to operate at least through this week and possibly into next week and beyond. But this is an extreme example because of the amount of schools that were damaged and destroyed, the amount of kids that not only aren't in school, but don't have a school to go back to.
Could you give me a rough idea of how many schools were destroyed? I know Altadena, I thought it was a dozen, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the California Department of Education released some statistics, I think last Friday, that said that 16 schools were damaged and destroyed. At the time, 35,000 kids in the state of California weren't in school, 5,600 of which did not have a school to go back to.
Whoa, that's a huge number.
It's a massive, massive amount. And, you know, I know that local and state officials are working around the clock to get kids back into school. And that's something that we know that our parents are craving.
Mm. So, Glendale, you still have openings for that? I know Eastside, Eagle Rock Camp is full.
The Eagle Rock Camp filled up within hours. The Glendale Camp still has openings. And then we're also in search for a San Gabriel Valley location as well, just to be able to accommodate evacuees who are on that side of the Eaton Fire.
Okay. I'm just making some notes in case I know anybody in those areas. So, okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, so as far as where to find out more about you, they can go to projectcamp.co. And where? What about your Instagram?
Yeah, our Instagram at projectcampla has information in real time about where our camps are, where availability is, and it's also where you can really see camp in action. You know, what you'll see on our social media is not maybe what you would typically see from a disaster relief organization. You'll see kids playing, you'll see kids having fun, you'll see kids having snack together, kids with having fun with meaningful adults. It's not the destruction of the fire. Mm-hmm. It's the context and understanding that we're creating this space for kids to be kids, to process through play during this critical time.
Wow. Any other needs you have for volunteers or donations? They should just head over to the website?
Yes, please do. Like I said, the donations are really what drive, and it's small dollar donations that drive this work, and it allows us to do this not just here in Los Angeles, but across the country in communities large and small, maybe where the news cycle isn't holding focus as long as we would like, and so the disaster recovery resources aren't being poured in the same way.
You know, I don't think I asked you this, but what is the maximum number of kids you can take at a time?
That really is state dependent. I think our Eagle Rock campus is capped at 50, just based on the site needs. We typically don't run a camp more than 100 kids, really, because you start to lose that sense of community feel at something
yes.
a little bit larger than that. And so
sure.
in order for our trauma-informed program to really be a success, we instead look to create multiple smaller camps so that we can really have that more intimate feel, so that we can really get our volunteers can get to know the kids, that we can get to know the families, and create that sense of reconnectivity.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you so much, Mikey, for calling in. Again, if you missed any part of our conversation, everything is on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. Thanks again, and thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you. I really appreciate helping to highlight and elevate this work.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Stay safe.
You too.
Bye-bye. That was Mikey Latner, founder and executive director of Project Camp, and they are doing extraordinary work right now to help people, kids affected by these wildfires, and to help parents out. If you want to find out more about the camps across Los Angeles for children impacted by the wildfires and how to register, you can head on over to projectcamp.co. And at the top of the page, there are ways to donate to support the efforts of Mikey and his entire team. They have a huge California Wild Response team underway. And it's a fantastic organization. All right, that's about all the time I have for today. If you missed any part of today's show, again, it'll be on the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. If you want to find out more about KUCI, you can head on over to KUCI.org. You can follow us on our socials, KUCI-FM. If you want to pitch me a guest, you can just send me an email. It's Janine, J-A-N-E-A-N-E at KUCI. .org. And again, lastly, I will reiterate that all the various resources for how to help victims of the Los Angeles wildfires is on the show blog. And you can find out information about volunteering, donating here in Orange County. The LA Strong Foundation and Julia Bendis have put together various ways you can help others. You can even help out people in Orange County, the Orange County firefighters. On Monday at Northwood Park, they were collecting various items that you might have in your home, or you could run out and get some of these supplies, everything from Visine to chapstick to beef jerky to whatever. If you go to the city of Irvine, you Google that, you'll see that they are accepting donations ongoing for the Orange County firefighters. They put together over 80 little gift bags for the firefighters right here. And what else? Up next, SoCal New Waver with Pass Forward is an amazing show. That's coming up at the top of the hour. That's about it for me. That's a wrap. I'm Janine. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Stay safe.